Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
Right, you can find your seats. Thanks, team. Yeah, come on, you can do better than that. Praise God. I really believe that that is awesome, that our relationship with Jesus has to move away from just feelings. Oh, I didn't feel anything today. Feelings are temporary. Honeymoons only last for a week or two. Josh and Ella. But then the real marriage begins. This is not a marriage talk. But I am so excited to talk to you today. And I really believe that God is going to speak to you. We need Jesus. Like we need Jesus to help the Lionesses win this morning. If you don't know what I'm talking about, they're in the final right now. I don't know the score, but if I hear any cheering, no cheeky people watching it, we want to know the score at the end of this time together. But it's a privilege to speak to you today, and I don't take this for granted. I really do not. Whenever I come and speak to you, I really go to God because I believe that this is the time. Our time on this earth is temporary. And I really believe that our call on this earth is to become more and more like Jesus. And I believe the time that I have and share with you, I want to give you some tools and things, and I want to spur on faith inside of you in order for us to do that. Jock and Shirley are away for the next couple of weeks. They are taking a well-earned break somewhere in the world. I'm not going to tell you where. But I don't even know where they are, to be fair. I don't even know. So, but they're having a fantastic time. I'm sure they are. He texted me last night with a sad face because Newcastle lost against Man City. So he's not, and he wasn't very happy last night. But the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders, right? We have to pray that they will be rested and come back ready to lead us with strength and vigor in the name of Jesus. Don't forget to pray for your leaders. If you didn't know this, but I studied communication at university. And they teach you that 80% of communication is nonverbal, which means this, that you can communicate essentially everything without your mouth moving and saying anything. What are you doing with your body? Question. How and what are you communicating? You know, a lot of people make a judgment call about someone even before they've even opened up their mouth. You can be in an elder queue and you've already judged about the people in that queue. I know you cheeky people. Some people even go, hey, do I trust you? Is that person confident? Is she timid? Do I like this person? Are they strong? Are they weak? Hey, have they got their kids under control? Like, I would never do that. Like, I know, like, but we don't even know the individual. But our face and who we are is always communicating. A lot of people in my team will say that they know exactly what I'm thinking without me even saying anything. Because our face is always communicating. They laugh because it's true, and I'm doing my best, okay? The question I have for you this morning is, what is your posture like? Your posture is the position of which someone holds their body in while standing or sitting. The posture can also be defined as having a particular approach or an attitude towards something. Now, have you ever been told that you've got bad or good posture? Science tells us that if you have good posture, it will actually help your mental health. It will increase your energy, and it will cause you to have greater confidence. I'm like, I want better posture. There's a lady who is a social psychologist, Amy Cuddy. Some of you might have heard of her. And she revealed this, that we can actually change feelings we have about our own status through the physical positions we can put our bodies in. Her research shows participants that had a higher levels of testosterone and lower levels of cortisone if they had to hold their bodies in a power pose. This is truth. So they say that before you entered into a meeting or a stressful situation, that she would say that if you held a position like this, before you enter, that you would indeed have lower levels of cortisol and higher levels of testosterone before you entered in, which means this, that your external posture has an effect on your internal posture. Today's message I want to bring to you today is called Postured for Purpose. I believe if our life is postured right, that we will live to a greater level of purpose. I believe it. I'm going to tell you the story. We're going to have our time together in Daniel, and it's a very well-known story from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Anyone heard the story? Funny enough, Tim Nelson actually spoke about a story about this. We didn't speak about anything ahead of today, but the Lord is up to something, which is, I love when he does this. But there's a story, I'm going to give you the back end because it's quite a long scripture that I want to read to us because it's going to help us our time together. But King Nebuchadnezzar was built a gold statue. It was 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. And what he said was, there was going to be a dedication ceremony where when the band had to strike up and begin to play, that everyone must fall to their knees. Every leader in the province, every single individual, race, tribe, tongue. When the band started, you must kneel down. However, there was three who decided that they were not going to follow suit. And they didn't bow down the first time. So there was a fortune teller who was going around and he went to tell on them, like a little snitch. Went to the king, was like, hey, these three didn't actually bow down. That's where we're at, okay? So we're going to go from Daniel 3, verse 13, and we're going to read here. Stay with me, okay? So furiously, King Nebuchadnezzar ordered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be brought in. When the men were brought in, Nebuchadnezzar asked, is it true that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you don't respect my gods and refuse to worship the gold statue that I have set up? I'm giving you a second chance. But from now on, when the big band strikes up, you must go to your knees and worship the statue that I have made. If you don't worship it, you'll be pitched into a roaring furnace. No questions asked. Who is the God who you can rescue from my power? 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered, King Nebuchadnezzar, your threat means nothing to us. If you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from a roaring furnace and anything you might cook up. Quite confident. O king, but even if he doesn't, it wouldn't make a difference. Because, O king, we still wouldn't serve your gods or worship the gold statue you've set up. Nebuchadnezzar, his face turned purple with anger. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he ordered the furnace fired 7 times hotter than usual. He ordered some strong men from the army to tie them up, hands and feet, and throw them into the roaring furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bound hand and foot, fully dressed, head to toe, were pitched into this fire. And because the king was in such a hurry, the furnace was so hot. Flames from the furnace killed the men who carried Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to it while the fire raged around them. Suddenly, King Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in alarm and said, didn't we throw 3 men bound hand and foot into the fire? That's right, O king, we did. But look, he said, I see 4 men walking around freely in the fire, completely unharmed. And the 4th man looks like the son of gods. Nebuchadnezzar went to the door in the roaring furnace and called in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the high God, and came out here. He said, come out here. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out the fire. Praise God. Father, we open up our hearts and minds in this moment. God, I pray you'll speak to us. Father, I pray you won't distract by our phones. Father, in the moment that we have together, I pray we'll be all in to you, Father. Let's just put everything away and we fix our eyes on you. And I pray you'll speak directly to our hearts today in the name of Jesus. Amen. I want to kick us off firstly with your heart posture. What is your posture of your heart like? The Lord asks us in Matthew 22, 37, that we must love the Lord with all your heart. In Proverbs 4, 23, it says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life, which means we have to guard this because it is directing your life, whether you like it or not. I thought that often the people that have hurt you the most and said the most hurtful things over your life are actually on living with their life. And we're still left often to a place of hurt. But we have to get to a place where we allow God to change our hearts and heal our hearts. We have to keep a postured heart towards heaven. You know, we read in this story that King Nebuchadnezzar, we built this idol 90 feet tall. And they gave strict instructions that when the band started playing, that these guys must kneel. But no matter the fear that these guys were going through, their hearts were what? Postured towards heaven. What idols have we got in our lives that often we can put in place in the first place? An idol is something of extreme devotion. What is something of extreme devotion that you have put inside of your life that is taking first place? Often your phones can become the greatest thing. Our phones are amazing. I love my phone. It can be the thing that can remember memories. You can catch up with loved ones. It's a thing for fun, it's joy. But also, our phones can be a huge distraction and a cost. Your phones are more than just the £50 a month or whatever you choose to pay. It has a cost on your life. It has a cost. It causes pain. It can cause addiction, insecurity, jealousy. It can trigger anger. The truth is, there was a stat that if we were in a group of people and there was a silence longer than 5 seconds, that 90% of people would pick up their phone. 90%. Don't be part of that 90. Choose. Me and my wife has a rule when we go out together. We're like, hey, this is a no phone zone, babe. No phone zone, babe. Yeah. It's important because I need to talk to you. After a 2-week holiday, maybe it's a bit different. You're like, I think we're talked out here, babe. Like, you know, just we bring games, whatever. But it's important that don't allow your phone or anything of extreme devotion to become a stumbling block in your life. Ultimately, church, it's about our worship, our heart posture to heaven. Our worship is more than just that. You know, our team did incredibly well this morning. They set up this time together so beautifully. So thank you for that. But our worship is so much more than our 20 minutes together. I've said this before, that our worship is whatever has your mind's attention, your soul's ambition, and your heart's affection. It's your mind's attention, your soul's ambition, and your heart's affection. It's about your mind, it's about your heart. Church, he wants all of us. He wants our whole being, not just the songs you sing. He wants you to worship in spirit and in truth. He wants you to bring your best worship. He deserves the worship and the praise that you bring to him. Is anyone out there this morning? How's your hearts when you come to church on a Sunday? Do you get up in the morning and you're stressed out? Kids have been acting up, or you get into the car and they're arguing in the car. There's toys being thrown and you've let you know you get to church, and then there's porridge all over you, and then you realize there's no car parking space. We have to go driving. You dump your car and you get down and you get a kid's church, and then you're late because there's a big queue, and then you can't get a coffee because the coffee queue is wrong, and you get in here and then you're sitting here, and then you finally get to church and you are like thinking about, oh my God, I didn't even put the oven on. Oh my Jesus. Oh, we're distracted. But maybe it's just me, that is. Oh, thank you. Praise God. There's another one out there. She said, no, it's me too. But I appreciate it's tough, but we have to get to a point. You know, our teams get here 7:30 a.m. in the morning. They're here prayed up, ready to go, rehearsed up, here on a Wednesday rehearsing. And they get to the place where they prayed up like 3 times in the morning. They get here ready to worship Jesus. And what they get often in the Sunday morning is people that are present in body, but absent in spirit maybe. We have to have a heart's posture to Jesus. Actually, scrap that. There's a lot of you who aren't absent. There are a lot of you absent in body too. So we need to get better at that. Jock spoke about it. He's probably up Wapping Road, still coming down, dropping your kids off. I get it. But we have to get our hearts ready to worship Jesus. In verse 7, it says, the band started to play, and a huge band equipped with the musical instruments in Babylon. Everyone said, every race, color, and creed fell to their knees and worshiped God. If the people of Babylon can kneel to an idol when the band started playing, how much more can the people of God begin to worship Jesus because he gave you breath in your lungs? Some of you shouldn't even be here this morning, but you are here by the grace of Jesus. So when you get here on a Sunday morning, that should be a time to give God, enter his gates, what? With thanksgiving in my heart. Enter his courts with praise. He can turn your morning to dance. And I encourage you, church, let's get our hearts postured. Why? Because when faith and expectation is matched with the Spirit of God, anything can happen. When your faith and expectation is matched with the presence of Jesus, anything can take place. I want to encourage you, let's have some times of worship playing in your home ahead of time. Put it on in your car. You set the tone at home. Any of you people had church before church? My mama had church before church. We had a preacher, we had a pastor, we had an offering person, legit. But it helped because we got our heart postured before we entered into church. So when that countdown comes, you don't wait for the clock to turn zero and you stand. I want to encourage you, I purposely stand 30 seconds to go because my heart is getting postured to worship Jesus. So I want to encourage you as homework from now on, let's not wait for zero. Let's wait for the trying of the back end of the clock to stand up. If you want to push the boat out, you can also clap your hands. We'll keep that for the start of the clock next week. I'm leading worship, so we'll see. But it's about your heart. You know, Jackson, every night at the moment, he's asking, Daddy, I want to read Martin. What do you mean, Martin? I want to read Martin, he says. What Martin? He wants to read this book called Martin Luther King. It's a kid's book. I don't know who bought it me in this church. Someone bought our kid a Martin Luther King book. Thank you, Jesus, for you. It was Jess. There you go. Martin Luther King, who was an American pastor, activist, and leader in a civil rights movement, he said this, that one day we won't be judged by the color of our skin, but the content of your heart. Not about our exterior, but about our hearts. It's about your hearts. It's not about the appearance of what you look like, but it's about your hearts. Even in 1 Samuel 16:7, it said, Lord, do not look at the things that people look at, but people look at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. David was God's chosen one. He wasn't the people's chosen one, but he was God's. Maybe you don't look like the people's chosen one, but it doesn't matter what the people's chosen one are. It's who God says that you are. You might be unqualified to get that job. Hey, it doesn't matter because if God has chosen you for that job, he is going to give you all the gifts and abilities to sustain you within the job. The Bible says he had a heart after God. There was a time to be a shepherd, but there was a time to be a king. It mustn't have been easy, you know, when he was anointed, but yet got sent back into the field. That must have been a tough time. But what do you do when the going gets tough? The tough gets going. When life puts a squeeze on you. When somebody cuts in front of you in a queue. And you're driving and you're like, what comes out of your mouth? If you're like me, you go, in the name of Jesus, I invite you to come forward. Brother, we bless you, your family, and your pets. Or maybe some other language comes out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak. When you get sent back, you don't get the job that you're asking for. Who are you becoming? Who are you becoming? You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the furnace was turned up 5 times hotter. And you may ask yourself, hey, why, God, why didn't you save them from the fire? Because I believe this, that sometimes God will protect you from the fire. But sometimes God wants to protect you through the fire. I believe that some of you, you're thinking, how am I in this fire? But let me tell you that God is protecting you through the fire. That even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil. Why? Because his rod and his staff, they comfort me. You might turn up that fire hotter than 7 times hotter. Whatever you may throw at me, in the name of Jesus, my strength is in Jesus. And he's bringing me through this in the name of Jesus. About 3 years ago, I hurt my shoulder and I don't know how I did it, but I tried to fix an internal problem externally, which you cannot do. I went for physio and it just wasn't fixing. And I actually had to have surgery in the end. And the thing about this was the ligaments and everything was a bit torn. And the thing about this was that when the surgeon had gone in and done what he needed to do, the thing was this, that I was fixed, but I wasn't strong. There is a process to possess strength. It was months and months in order to get back the strength that was lost. But I believe that God wants you to know this more than that. He wants you more than fixed. He wants you strong. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in this story. We're in a place where they needed to be having their strength and their hearts set on what? On Christ, on their hearts towards heaven. They needed to love Jesus with their whole being. Their strength and faith was in their God. They even said, your threat means nothing to us. Even if you throw us in the fire, the God we serve can rescue us from a roaring furnace and anything you might cook up. Some of you need to get some righteous anger at Jesus and say, hey, he wants to make you strong. My God's going to make me strong because in my weakness, his strength is made perfect. So when the wind and the waves come and I struggle to know how I'm going to get through this fire, I can know that the God who's brought me, is going to bring me through this fire, is going to help me in the fire in the name of Jesus. It's about our heart's posture towards heaven. Secondly, it's about your head posture. Love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Why on earth will the Lord ask us to love him with his mind? I believe it's because if you don't manage your mind, it's going to manage you. Jesus was crucified on a hill called Golgotha, which means the hill of skull. He knew your minds were imperative and he died for your minds. Say after me, he died for my mind. He died for my mind. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. It's time to fix your focus. These guys were firmly fixed on Jesus. You know, on this moment, if anyone's saying to me that they're turning up any fire hotter than it already is, I'm out of there. My mind is freaking out. But their minds were firmly fixed on Jesus. I want to say to you this morning that it's time to change your focus from what you were going through to what God has brought you through. It's a change of perspective. Nebuchadnezzar said this, that he went to the door of the roaring furnace and called in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the high God. He said, come out here. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walked out of the fire. Quickly here, understand two things, two perspectives. The first perspective is that they say that I am still in the fire. The second perspective is that I am walking out the fire. The same thing is true, but the difference is that their focus was on something else. That God is saying, I'm walking out. The fire is still going on, but I'm walking out. And I believe that some of you need to get some faith inside of your step to say that, God, I am walking out of this fire. It might be still hot, but God, I'm walking out. Fear might come knocking, but I'm walking out. That my heart, my mind is postured towards heaven. That the Lord says that I've not got a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. A sound mind is what? A sound mind is what? A mind that is actually occupied by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, take control of our minds and trust in you in the name of Jesus. You have to manage your mind. I've put a few things here. You might want to write it down. But an unmanaged mind leads to tension. But a managed mind leads to tranquility. An unmanaged mind leads to pressure. But a managed mind leads to peace. An unmanaged mind leads to conflict and chaos. But a managed mind leads to confidence. An unmanaged mind leads to stress. But a managed mind leads to strength and security. It's time to manage your mind. It's time to posture your mind to heaven. It's time to fix your focus. Because greater is he that is in me than the he that is in the world. So when I come into worship, yes, things might be going crazy, but I fix my mind and posture my mind on Jesus. My bills might not be looking the way it should, but I have an opportunity when I come into the presence of Jesus to fix my focus on the one who can sort out my problem. Thirdly, your hand posture. Let's just take a moment, our hands. Fee mentioned it this morning in her emceeing part, and we didn't communicate prior. But we thank God for our hands, every hand designed by God, with a personalized fingerprint, with a palm pattern. I do not need a fortune teller to look at my palm pattern to tell me my future. I can look and put my hands in the hands of the one who made it, who can tell me about my future. Your hands are the hands that I get to hold my newborn son. The hands that I wear my ring that I've been married for 7 years to say a significant promise with my wife. The hands that I get to write songs with. The hands that I'm able to massage my wife on a daily basis. after a long, hard day. That's not true. Tim Nelson was like, yeah, right, buddy. But our hands were made to worship Jesus. Our hands were made to worship Jesus. The theology, I remember that when I first lifted my hands to Jesus, I was young, a pastor's kid, stressed out, thinking everyone else is doing it. Why am I not doing it? I spoke to my dad about it. And he says, hey, son, just do it when you're ready. And I remember one Sunday morning, I was like, you know what? Today's the day, Lord. My hands are coming to you. And I said to myself, I'm looking around. Anyone looking? This is my time. And I remember going, hoo! I kept looking around as it went. And if someone opened up their eyes, I put it straight down. But I ended up doing it, finding the strength to lift up my hands. Somebody at the end of the service came, oh, son, one of the aunties, you really blessed me this morning. Oh, no, you did not just say that. You saw my hands. She said, oh, your hands in worship. I'm like, yeah, I know. But lifting our hands is not the only way to worship Jesus, but I believe it does something in you. I don't want anyone here to feel condemned for not doing it, but I believe it's part of the journey for us to really find freedom in our worship with Jesus. Seven reasons why I lift my hands in worship. I lift my hands in worship because Scripture tells us to. Psalm 134 says that I stand before him in the house of God, lifting up holy hands in worship. I lift my hands in worship as a physical representation of a heart decision. I put here that I'll do it when I feel like it. I would put a spin on that and say, do it and you'll feel like doing it. If we follow our feelings, we won't do it. Lift our hands in worship as a sign to say that your heart, your ways are higher than mine. Jesus, over to you. Waiting here for you with my hands lifted high. I lift my hands in worship to shift my focus off me and onto Jesus. I lift my hands in worship as a sign of vulnerability, nothing to hide. The vulnerability is a birthplace of creativity. I lift my hands in worship out of a sign of surrender. And finally, I lift my hands in worship ready to receive all that he has for me. You know, God wants to bring you something new inside of your hands. It's my birthday next week. And if I had to hold all the gifts that my wife had to give me over the last few years, I wouldn't be in a place to receive the new gift that she has for me. And it's the same with us spiritually and the things in our world, that if our hands are so full, weighed down with the things of the past, how are we expecting God to give you something new and place it inside of your hands? He wants to bring something new for old. God wants to bring something new inside of your world. You know, even in this story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he said here that they ignored the king's orders and they laid their bodies on the line rather than serve any other god, which means what? They were surrendered. They laid their life down. And I think that is what we're saying when we worship in Jesus, our hands have to be in a place of surrender and say, Jesus, I know it may not look like the way I want it to look. I know the fire is blazing. I know my situation might not look the way I feel like it should. I've been here before, but I choose to lift my hands. I choose to place it in a place of surrender. And I choose Christ for you to write my story. I put you in the driver's seat and say, it might not make sense, but I choose to posture my life for purpose with you. I choose to posture my heart. I choose to posture my mind. I choose to posture my hands. That was your cue, Josh. The best thing about this story was this. They weren't alone in the fire. It says in verse 25 that, but look, he said, I see four men walking around freely in the fire, completely unharmed. And the fourth man looks like the Son of God. You are not alone. God is with you. is with you. If God be for me, who can be against you? But you don't know Aaron, what they did to me. You don't know what they said to me. Can Jesus really handle my hurt and brokenness? Can he really see and heal this pain? Yeah. But I'm so empty. Can he fill my heart? Yeah. But I'm depleted and broken and trodden down, trodden. I've kind of hidden it away for years. And I feel like I'm just want to hide it away. He says, no. I want it. I want your full heart. I believe that some of your hearts have become hardened towards the Global Sea Church. Some of you hearts have become hard towards this church. But he wants to take your heart of stone. Ezekiel said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I want to say this morning that you can trust your Father in heaven again with your heart. I believe as I was preparing that some of you have got a package on you that says handle with care. Fragile. We've got a God in heaven who understands how to hold fragile packages. He doesn't treat us all the same. But he wants, it's the hard part. It's like, Aaron, are you really talking about the heart? This is the part I can't give. I can give my hands in worship, but I can give everything, but my heart, really? Really? But I'm cross at you, God. I'm angry at you, God. You didn't do the thing that I wanted you to do. You didn't save the people I want. You didn't heal when I wanted. You didn't. Oh. God says, come. His arms are still open. It doesn't have to be. Make it understand with what his word says is what? I don't have to understand. But I choose to trust.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week and we'll see you soon.